bark. You see what I mean now about your raise?
Oh, see? What about him?
I told you, man. I think you're overestimating your raise a little bit.
Maybe.
You know, you got to listen to me more.
I'll start doing that.
It's Baseball Central. Blue Jays have the day off. Blue Jays took 2-3 from Tampa.
How about that? 1-0 win, too.
1-0 win.
When do you ever see that?
Never.
Play defense. Get a timely hit.
Play
Pitch
defense.
Pitch great.
Yes.
Did I say play defense? I did say that.
You did say that. That would be the first thing you talked about today. Yeah, we got to talk about defense. Here's the thing. Beating Tampa Bay 2-3 is a pretty big deal, regardless of whatever time of year it is, because things don't always go the Blue Jays' way at Tropicana Field. And they just don't. Part of that is the Rays have their number. The Rays have had their number most seasons, recent seasons anyhow. Stephen John Gibbons agrees with me.
He's with us.
He is. He is indeed with us. So, look, we got to talk about Bo. We got to talk about Cavan. We got to talk about the defense. But before I jump into that, and I will, because I've written about it, before we jump into that whole thing, we're kind of obligated to talk about the bullpen, aren't we? Because the bullpen was pretty damn good this weekend. And other than the decision to put Jordan Romano out there, which I kind of get. At some point, you're going to have to put Jordan Romano in.
What was wrong with that?
Well, people are saying, you know, Charlie should have rushed him out. No, you know what? If you're healthy enough to be in the 25-man roster, you're healthy enough to pitch. And that's just people, that's people looking to be negative. But anyhow, leaving that aside, I mean, that decision didn't work out. But leaving that aside, just about everything that Pete, Charlie, the analytics folks, because they had a hand in this. You know, we can't sit there and say the analytics folks suck when it doesn't work. And then when it works, say, oh, my God, it's all the manager, all the pitching coach, all the bullpen coach. It was a collaborative effort here. Really didn't put a foot wrong, did they? Three games against a team that will take advantage.
You could argue the Jordan Romano thing, too, with first and second. Kevin Biggio makes the play at third base, turns the double play.
Yeah, I didn't.
He's one pitch away from getting out of that.
Correct. I mean, there are some people in social media, but that's stupid. Forgive me for even mentioning it.
You're forgiven.
Again, if you're on the roster and you're healthy.
If I remember correctly, before he went on the IL, he was their highest leverage guy.
Right. Anyhow.
That's not going to change.
No. But again, as was the case earlier, a couple of series earlier, we've kind of seen, I think, the method to this, the way this bullpen was constructed, right? With the arm angles, the different stuff, the different pace. It's a whole bunch of different dudes, different looks coming out of the bullpen. It looks very much like what Tampa Bay used last year when they were successful. Maybe not. I don't know, Kevin. Maybe the velocity is not the same as what the Rays bring out.
Yeah.
But, you know, there have been recent Jays teams that would have lost all three of those games.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing out of the bullpen is movement. That's how they're getting through these things. You look at Chatwood. He's cutter guy. Cutter sinker guy. You look at Barucki. He's a sinker slider guy. You look at David Phelps. He's a curveball cutter guy. You look at Dolis. He is a sinker split slider guy. It's rarely that you're bringing
side to side, up and down.
Sure,
it's
rarely that you're working on more weak contact. You are trying to strike people out. That's why we're talking about defenses and more balls are being put in play and. You know, infielders have to be a little bit more on their toes instead of the, you know, 1-2-3 strike three guy, and then you're throwing it around the infield. No, you got to be on your toes, ready to field ground balls and throw it to the right base and hit guys in the chest. You can't argue. They're efficient. They're keeping it in the yard. They're David Phelps, one guy for me that can pitch. We talked about this from the fifth to the ninth inning, who pitches to hitters' weaknesses. better than most guys coming out of the bullpen. The other guys, Berucki, it's more stuff. Start at middle, have it break to one side. You know, he can pitch into righties, which is a big deal. Expand with a slider. He's morphed that into a little bit of the cutter, which is a, you know, starting to gain more confidence, working on routines. He's a lot more comfortable buying into being a bullpen guy. You know, you throw 97 miles an hour. Every once in a while, it's me against you. See if you can hit it. You saw a little bit of that in Tampa. The Dolis, look, don't try and force movement. When he is not grunting and not trying to make it sink, not trying to make it split, not trying to make it slide, just mechanically sound enough to, you know, I'm going to start it here and it's going to go that way, it'll go this way, and then I can backfoot it to a lefty. That's Dolis. You know, maybe it's not always about strike one with him. It's about making it look like a strike. That's the biggest deal. Yeah, I said this at the beginning of the season. What did I say the biggest two things were? You have four or five guys play 140-plus games, and whoever they hand the ball to from the starter has to be almost perfect. And right now you can argue they have been.
Right. So it was an eventful weekend, not just beating the Rays 2-3. The Rays, by the way, are 11-11. The Jays are 10-11. Boston still leads the division of 14-9. We mentioned the Jays have today off, and then Interleague kicks in, but it was an eventful weekend. George Springer did play a couple of intra-squad games. It's weird because I think going into the weekend, the thought was perhaps you see him Sunday. We kind of poo-pooed that because we thought, why would you bring him back in artificial turf? You can bring him back in grass. So then we said, okay, well, Tuesday when Washington comes to town, you maybe bring George Springer back on Tuesday. The Jays haven't really confirmed that yet. The indication, and we'll be joined by Ben Wagner, Blue Jays voice on Sportsnet, who's been around the team in Tampa, in Florida. You know, the expectations, I think, are that we'll see him this week. I don't know if it will be Tuesday or not. Expectations are Teoscar Hernandez will be back at some point as well. And, of course, because we are talking about the 2021 Blue Jays, there is another injury to talk about. Hyunjin Ryu, as far as I could tell, he pulled an ass muscle. His right glute.
Well said.
And left the game yesterday. Kudos to Daniel Kim, KBO reporter who was in Florida, who knows Kim very well, and who tweeted out almost immediately that it was that Kim had left the start made by the Dodgers.
Or Ryu.
When he was with the Ryu had left a start with the Dodgers because of a similar. Because of a similar injury. Missed 2 weeks with it. And then he also sent out footage that appeared to show him warming up in the bullpen and at one point kind of stopping his delivery. And so anyhow, Ryu did his post-game media availability, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
Said he didn't think he'd have to have time in the IL. The Jays have a couple of days off. It wasn't going to start until Saturday anyhow. I mean, this seemed to be the opportunity to give him that extra day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are. With the Blue Jays going into today's off day, we're kind of caught up. Now, we got to talk about the infield. Again, against the backdrop of this team winning 2-3 against the Tampa Bay Rays, Kevin Barker yesterday with their ace on the mound, a guy who gives up a lot of ground balls. The Jays put out what I would suggest is their best infield defense.
Oh, it is.
The fact that Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio were not part of it, they ain't good. I love Santiago Espinal. I think he can be a contributor off the bench. But it ain't good that your best infield defensively doesn't have Bo Bichette in it right now.
Huh. Well, what are you going to do about it? That's the next question. They've basically, by doing that, both times that he started, the only two times that Semien's played shortstops when Ryu's pitching, they're telling you, without telling you, that there's some head-scratching going on what you do with Bo. And the one thing I'll say about Bo is, I told you this when I came out, I watched Tatis Jr. last
night. Tatis Jr., by the way, is more errors than Bo, if people are interested.
He doesn't look good at shortstop either.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'll say about Bo is this is what you notice when you watch Bo is he's having trouble with his back end at shortstop. He's having trouble on the slow roller where he has to run in, field it, set his feet, throw a strike to first. He's having trouble on the ball that's hit really hard right at him. The only ball he's not having trouble with is the one he goes to his left.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, if you only had trouble with one of those, okay, Louis Rivera gets you out and hits you 1,000 backhands. But when you have trouble with three out of the four, that's the issue, is how do you fix it in season, and how do you keep that from being an issue from your pitchers? Because there's going to be a time where we mentioned how good the bullpen's been, where we've mentioned how good the three lefties starters have been.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some times where some pitchers are going to walk up to certain coaches and go, hey, we're doing our job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they need to start doing theirs. And when you start having conversations back and forth like that and people start pointing fingers, then you're going to run into trouble. So the question would be is, what do you do?
Well, I mean, the way I look at it, there are a couple of options here. And I wrote about this on Sportsnet.ca, and I threw it out there. I mean, the first option, the one that Joe Siddle and a lot of other folks are talking about, is making an in-season move of Bo Bichette from shortstop to second. Now, I got to throw this out here. I don't know what the Jays analytics are telling them about infield defense. And yes, folks, they do have analytics with infield defense. Mm-hmm. So that's the first caveat. I assume that they know more than we know. I assume that they have a better handle on what's going on than we do. But we also know that in the past two off seasons, they've at least kicked the tires on shortstops. Now you're going to go, Jeff, yeah, Francisco Lindor, obviously. Francisco Lindor would be a great acquisition for any team. I mean, they looked at Didi Gregorius a couple of years ago as well. Mm. And the idea all along, I think, has been there's an understanding between this front office and Bo. Here's the thing. Bo and Vladdy, and now that George Springer's here, George Springer, that's the core of your team. If you are going to win a World Series with the Toronto Blue Jays, those three are going to be the core. So you're going to want to keep them happy. We know that the Blue Jays have kept Bo and Kevin Biggio abreast of all these offseason acquisitions. I think there's an understanding, and Bo is smart enough to figure this out, that look, right now you're our shortstop. If we get Trevor Story or Carlos Correa Javi Baez or this year Francisco Lindor, we'll need to have a discussion about moving to second base. And my guess is Bo Bichette goes, moving off for a guy like Lindor, that's fine. That's just me talking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the background here. There's two things you can do. One, you can make an in-season move of Bo to second base, have Semien at short, and leave Kevin at third. All right. I don't know if that makes your defense any better. Yes, Marcus Semien is at shortstop. That's where he's played in recent years. He only signed here as a free agent, understanding that he was going to play second. Mm-hmm. But I still got a guy at third who's having trouble. Mm-hmm. And I got a guy at second who's learning a new position. Huh. One option. The other option, and Bark, I'll let you weigh in here, but the other option, perhaps, is you move Kevin Biggio to second, where he's comfortable.
Mm.
You go to Marcus Semien, who's on a one-year contract, and who has already signaled to you that he understands versatility is going to be a selling point for him in the offseason. That's why he's come here and agreed to play second.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, Marcus, here's the thing. This team's defense stinks. We may need at some point to move Bo to second, but before we do that, we need to give you a run out of third. And everybody's going, okay, why are you sacrificing Marcus Semien for Bo Bichette? Marcus Semien's playing for contract. Understand this. Marcus Semien played more third base than second base before he became a full-time shortstop. So it's not like it's a completely foreign position to him. So that's where I am in this. And there's a couple of things here, Bark. Well, I want you to weigh in on those two options, because then I'm also going to give you some added context. There's some stuff going on that's got nothing to do with Bo that isn't helping him here. Yeah, so I'll let you weigh in on those options.
The first thing, the core part of it, yeah, I'm not sure Kevin 1,000% is going to be a part of the core
two years from now. No, but Bo, Vladdy, and Springer are.
There you go. So that's your three guys. it gets to one of those things where does it make your team a better team and give you a better chance of winning more games if you put Simeon at short, put Bo at second, and leave Kevin at third base? Kevin, I don't think, is going to be a bad third baseman. I think once he gets a better pre-pitch setup, I think once he gets more time there and more and seeing more reps, you could hide him by putting him there. You move him. Don't put him so close to the play all the time. Even if you have a runner on third, you need to try and knock that runner down at third, at home plate. Don't put him as close. Make some adjustments when it comes to where you put him, and you know, just sort of massage him his way into it.
I did not get that positioning this weekend with the Rays, and I understand Charlie Montoya said Manuel Margot can bunt. The Rays don't bunt.
Yeah. Fast twitch muscles too. I'm not sure that's what Kevin Biggio has got at third base. You gotta be quicker. You gotta put your glove in positions that when the balls hit hard to you, you're not moving it around trying to get it to the ball. It's a little bit of baseball 101, but you can't really explain that in season to a guy who's trying to learn it on the fly and win games to boot. That's the hardest thing. And Bo, we haven't really seen when he struggles at the plate. How's his defense gonna look?
Yeah, he was 0 for 13 this weekend.
0 for 13 is what it is. But what if he's 0 for 25? Hey, he's here because he's a hitter. Hitter first. They all are. You know, Santiago Espinal may be here because he plays defense. Everybody else is not. They're here because they hit first. And then what you do defensively is a little bit of gravy. Gets to the point where, look, you want to win? You think your team's better defensively by moving them, you move them. There's no you don't ask. You don't have conversations.
All right.
You call him in and say, here's the deal. It makes better sense that you don't get as many plays during the game, which is not – you don't most of the time because most hitters are right-handed. You have a bunch of left-handed pitchers. Balls are going to be hit to short and third better. Marcus Semien, when he was learning how to play short, looked to me like he had issues with his backhand. You saw Ron Washington a lot when he was on his knees hitting little baby fungos to his backhand a lot. That looks like that's what he's fixed. One thing. It's not three things to fix in season. That's my point. So if that's what you think, and you think your team's better, you make it. And it's like pulling the Band-Aid off, Jeff. When you pull the Band-Aid off, you don't slowly do it. You don't methodically go. You grab it and yank it.
So that would seem to me to suggest you're panicking.
Panic's not. Why? You're not sending him down. You want to get the fullest from him offensively. And if that you think that is the fact of you don't think he's going to be a plus defender at shortstop the rest of his career. And I'm sure they got smart people breaking all everything down, first moves and his body type and arm strength and all the things that go into analytics.
Okay, but then why would you not? Why would you not have done that in spring training?
Well, there you
because
go.
Because the analytics ain't changed. I don't think he lost arm strength between spring training and now.
And that didn't sneak up on you that you may have three starting pitchers who are left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things where maybe you don't do your due diligence and do exactly what you need to do before it actually happens. And now it's starting to come into one of those things where your manager, your infield coach, your GM are going to have to make a tough decision.
Yeah. 590-590 is a text line. Please feel free to weigh in on this discussion. What would you do
and
to address the Blue Jays infield issues? And that's a good question, too. What would you do and when would you do it? 590-590 is the text line. I got to say something in defense of Bo Bichette. Get it what I did there? Defense of Bo Bichette. I got to say something in defense of Bo Bichette. That has nothing to do with Bo Bichette. I don't think this is his fault in air quotes at all. I'll explain when we come back. This is Baseball Central. All right, 590-590 is the text line. We will get to your texts in a minute. Jeff Burdick just stepped down as general manager of the Colorado Rockies after 7 years of suck.
He's about a half year too late.
A half year too late.
He is. Yep.
I wonder if Nolan Arenado's still with the Rockies if that dude isn't around. I know the Rockies have the Rockies' rot runs deep, but anyhow.
That's a great question.
Ben Wagner, our Blue Jays voice, joins us from Florida. Hello, Mr. Wagner.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. So I'm going to say something here in defense of Bo Bichette. Man, I bounced it off Barker first just so that to make sure that I wasn't being a complete and utter idiot in this. I think we know right now that something has to give with the Blue Jays infield defense. At some point, something's going to have to give. Bo's going to be at second base at some point. I'm hoping it's next year because I think it's better to do it in the offseason. Anyhow, all that aside, couple of things here that I kind of blame this organization for. One, and this is kind of a byproduct. I don't think it was done. I don't think it was done intentionally. But when you spend all your time talking about positional versatility and how important it is that guys play five or six different positions, and you got a guy in Bo Bichette who hasn't moved anywhere, you know, a lot of people are going to look, okay, wait a minute. How come Bo gets special treatment here compared to everybody else? Everybody else has got to play multiple positions. How come Bo gets special treatment? I think that if this thing continues to go pear-shaped and Bo doesn't get moved, people are going to start asking that question. I have no problem with treating Bo Bichette differently than anybody else because I think Bo Bichette ultimately is the most important player in this team, not named Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Okay, all that aside. Second thing, and Barker and I talked about this, Ben. You know, I noticed that Fernando Tatis Jr. has more errors than Bo Bichette this year. In point of fact, he's made almost as many errors through 87 career games as Bo Bichette, or he made almost as many errors in 87 career games as Bo Bichette has made in 87 career games. You know why no one talks about Tatis's defense? Because he rakes? Because he's got Eric Hosmer, and he's got Eric Hosmer at first and Manny Machado at third. He's got help around him. Bo ain't got nobody.
It shows the value of Justin Smoke and how many errors that he probably sagged with all those scoops. And I think, you know, the Blue Jays just don't have the steadiness at first base. And that's a really good point, right? The guy that can be a vacuum around the first base bag and save guys' errors. And
just make it look better,
too. The fact that... Well, it makes it look better. Absolutely. It saves you errors. It makes it look better. We've seen some glaring issues on the left side of the diamond. It starts with the way they're fielding the ball, the way they're throwing the baseball. And when they're not scoring runs, it makes it a very, very big problem. You're exactly right. And in all fairness to Bo, he went in with the promise if there wasn't a marquee shortstop that was acquired and brought into this organization, that he was going to continue to be the shortstop with this organization moving forward, at least in this year, whatever this year is. And that was very evident, even though Marcus Semien has played very, very good defense at second base. The best shortstop is probably at second base, and the best infielder is likely going to be in the minor leagues by the end of this week on this team. That's where Santiago Espinal factors in, and there is no coincidence whatsoever that Hyun-Jin Ryu makes a start, and that defense got zipped up pretty quick with Espinal at third, Semien at short, and then even Joe Panic, who I thought played outstanding defensively yesterday at second base. I think that was not only the coaches looking at the situation, the front office looking at the situation, but I think Hyun-Jin Ryu is going to weigh in that situation too, if he feels comfortable or if he's not comfortable when he's out there on the mound with who's around him. He's going to be one of the guys that, as much as you think about George Springer probably being a catalyst in conversation in the direction of this team over the next 5 years, the next three-plus years, Hyun-Jin Ryu is going to be consulted a lot about the seven gloves that are going to be behind him, because that's the guy that you want to make some big starts.
And keep in mind that Scott Boras is his agent, too. Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah. George Springer playing Tuesday?
That's the indication that I get, and he's going to be in there nine innings, unless something crazy happened between him walking off the field last night at the player development complex and today, and whatever treatment and rehab that he's going to go on. That's the plan. He wanted to be on his feet for two games in all nine innings out of the three that he played over the weekend, and he DH'd one of those games. That's the indication that I'm getting right now.
Ben,
George Springer debuts on Tuesday.
You think he plays center?
Yes, that's why he wanted to be on his feet and not on his feet at the Trop over this weekend. The Blue Jays kind of downplayed that, but more and more I talk to people, and I asked Ross Atkins about it in his media availability on Thursday when you started to sense that they were putting the pause button on the weekend with George Springer coming back and joining the team at the Trop. Ross said no, the Trop isn't an impact there, but I just, the sense that I get more and more, that turf is unforgiving. It's hard, even for healthy bodies. That's why I think that to get George Springer coming off of his rehab games this weekend, getting his timing down as much as it can be, that's why they want him to start in center coming up on Tuesday.
Okay, with the way Randall Grichuk's hitting, when you get Teoscar Hernandez back, you get George Springer back, who's the odd guy out?
Well, I think that can go a number of different ways. Right now, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. needs to put the ball in play more. And looking at how, you know, his defense has been a little shaky, guys have to produce. And it is now going to be on both sides of the baseball. And Rowdy starting to hit. There aren't lineup problems. These are kind of good things, or good issues to have. If Rowdy's going to be a left-handed thumper in the middle, and we thought Rowdy might be the odd man out going into this season because he wasn't producing, but now if Rowdy's putting the ball in play and driving the ball with authority, that's a left-handed bat in a very heavily right-handed lineup that you need in there. And whoever is hitting is going to get a chance to play. And if Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is not producing, I think, you know, he's one of the guys that goes from being a lock in the lineup every day now to being a question mark more days than not.
When he's back, when George Springer is back, when Teoscar Hernandez is back, once everything's straightened out, how do you see the batting, the lineup shaking out? You know, do you think that we're going to see that bottom of the order with maybe, I don't know, you know, whoever's at Kevin Biggio, Danny Jansen down at the bottom, or Jansen, Biggio, I mean, whoever's catching down at the bottom. Is that where you think we're going to see how it's going to be set up? Maybe Marcus Semien down there as well? Because the one thing we know Kevin can do, right, is if Kevin is content being Kevin, he can see a lot of pitches and turn a lineup over.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin's going to be around depending on what the matchup of the day is, right? How many lefties that you need to balance out if you're able to slip a couple in there. You're going to have Kevin likely in that number eight slot. I think Semien's going to be in front of him more than he's not in front of him. But George Springer's going to be your leadoff guy. Then you're going to have Bo Bichette batting second, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. batting third, and everything goes according to plan. Again, Teoscar Hernandez jumps right back into that cleanup spot.
Any worries about Jordan Romano for you?
Yeah, a lot. The fastball didn't have any life. And, okay, I was at the Trop over the weekend, right? I saw a very, very high-octane, very spirited bullpen session that he threw on Friday, and then the activation on Saturday, and then again into the ballgame on Saturday. And the stuff just wasn't the same. The fastball velocity was down. He was not really throwing the slider, which is something that when he's on the mound, his slider to fastball splits are crazy. He's throwing way more sliders. And he avoided the slider overall in that outing on Saturday. And the fastball velocity was not only down just a couple of miles an hour. I mean, he's a guy that should flirt with 98 miles an hour. And he was in the mid-fours, you know, 94.9, 94.3. That's a pretty significant difference. And that reminded me of the Jordan Romano who was trying to, like, guide the baseball instead of just absolutely rearing back and letting it go. So all those things, and looking at how differently he pitched plus the dip in velocity, makes me a little worried.
Ben, really good of you to do this today. Thanks so much, man. Stay safe.
You got it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. That's Ben Wagner, Blue Jays voice on Sportsnet. Jays and Washington Nationals tomorrow, right? I got a brain fart.
Yeah, Max Scherzer.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome back, George.
Welcome back, George. Here's your first pitch from Max Springer.
That's a big
Max league. Scherzer.
Expect to get it.
You've got a lot to say in this, folks. 590, 590 is the text line, and we're gonna get to them because there's a lot of people who want to weigh in about this. Craig from PEI writes in. In my opinion, third is the bigger issue. Bichette has shown some ability to play shortstop. Biggio hasn't shown an ability to play third. I think you deal with third ASAP and see how Bo responds with this latest rough patch. That's kind of where I am, I think, in a nutshell. That's kind of where I am.
Well, if you're okay with Santiago Espinal playing every single day, I'm okay with that too. He's your best defender. You want to put him at third, that's fine and dandy. You want to move Marcus Semien to third? That, for me, is just a lot to ask. You've already asked him to go to second. Okay, I'll take that because I'm trying to get a contract, and maybe you're going to give me one, and I'm getting all buddy-buddy with you because, you know, I'll do what you tell me to do. But to ask him to move to from short to second and then second to third, that's a lot to ask.
Let me ask you this. Bo's arm, because a couple of people have said move Bo to third. That makes sense, doesn't it?
No, with all the things I said, I had mentioned he's having issues with the backhand. You have to use your backhand a lot. You have to run in on the ball a lot, right. Throw on the run a lot.
I just wanted to get that on
accuracy,
the record.
Accuracy, arm strength. You know, when he sets his feet and can follow his throw, yeah, he's fine, but you don't do that all the time.
Yeah. Frank from Stony Creek. What we fans would do and what can be done are two different things. He says you got to roll with Bo at short for now, although Semien is better. And to give him his promised shot. The best infield would be Semien at third, Biggio back at second, but Simeon's in a contract year, and as you pointed out, it's not selfish as the Jays knew the deal, so maybe not wanting him to go to third base to maximize his one big time in free agency is tricky. But he says, I don't think having Semien at shortstop and Bo at second as a test for the odd game is hurting any feelings. I'm going to ask you that. Before we take the break, I'm going to ask you that. How would they go about doing that?
Can't worry about feelings. It's the big leagues. It's the get it done league, not the try league. We've heard that, right?
That's true.
You can't make both guys happy. Yeah. That means Kevin and Bo. You can't do that.
No, but if you're going to make one of the two happy, you're going to make Bo happy. Let's be realistic. If you're going to make one of the two happy, you're going to make Bo happy. I mean, you just are.
Yeah.
Come on.
Kevin will be the odd guy out.
Yeah. But I agree with you in that. But you are. I mean, ideally, what happens is Bo goes into Charlie Montoya tomorrow and says, give me some ground balls at second.
He ain't going to do that. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying ideally. But, yeah, I don't think he would. I don't think he would either. And I got to say this about having Bo at third, folks. We haven't played 30 games yet. I'm sorry, having Kevin at third. We haven't played 30 games yet. They spent a month, 5 weeks in spring training hitting grounders at third.
Yeah.
They went all in on Kevin Biggio at third base. They really did. And by extension, they were going all in on Bo Bichette at shortstop. I don't think you change course a month into the season.
Unless you start getting some pitchers raising their hand. Then you really got to think about it.
And Ben Wagner talked about that. And that is...
Yeah. All three of your best pitchers are left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
They face a lot of right-handed batters. You don't want them to try and massage pitches where they don't want to throw them just to keep it away from the left side of the infield.
Clifton in Etobicoke says, I think Bo could do himself some good if he works in mastering the fundamentals instead of trying to be flashy. Everything Bo's a flashy player. He just is. I mean, Bo's flashy brushing his teeth. But
you ever seen him brush his teeth?
You know what I mean. Everything we've heard is that he's a diligent worker in the field. No one's ever questioned Bo Bichette's ability to grind.
They'll have to be a big boy in the room that raises his hand and makes a decision for him. Just not right for the team and the organization. I'm sorry. If it comes to that and you think that's the case and it makes your team better, that's what you have to do.
590-590 is a text line. You've got a lot to say about the Blue Jays' defensive issues. Again, today's question. We could sit here and rant about got to move Bo here, got to move Semien there, got to move Kevin here, got to play Espinal every day. That's not happening, folks. What would you do to solve these defensive issues, and when would you do it? Are we talking now? Are we talking the offseason? It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Plenty more baseball talk ahead on Writer's Block with Richard Deitch joining me. Bark, we got to talk about Madison Bumgarner. And pitched a no-hitter yesterday.
Did he?
In the second
count.
Give me the seven-inning doubleheader. And no, it doesn't.
Nope.
Now, here's the issue I have. I've covered games. I saw Mark Gardner lose a no-hitter in the 10th inning of a game. 9 no-hit innings. Game went to the 10th inning, lost it. I saw Pascual Perez pitch a 5-inning no-hitter, rain-shortened game. And those things aren't, you know, they don't hold up as a no-hitter. But I got to say this. The Players Association and owners agreed that when you're playing a doubleheader, 7 innings is one game. That's the regulation amount of time.
Yep.
Madison Bumgarner pitched in a regulation game, gave up no hits. Game didn't need extras. Wasn't a rain out. To me, it's a no-hitter. I do not see how this is even a topic of discussion. It is, but I don't even see how it's a topic of discussion.
Yeah, I hate to
no-hitter.
I hate to agree with you, but I do. 100%, it's a no-hitter. It's not his fault. The league said it's a 7-inning game. Game?
Yes, exactly.
You pitched 7 innings. You didn't give up a hit. For me, that's a no-hitter.
Again, this is a regulation game. Didn't go extras.
Nope.
Everything got done in the regulation amount of time. It's a no-hitter.
Yep. I'm with you.
I like having debates about stuff. I'm all for that. But Jesus God, that's not even a debate.
It's not.
Like I was, you know, and a lot of people were weighing in on social media. They were talking about it on TV, and I'm laughing. It's a no-hitter.
Yeah.
It's a no-hitter. It just is.
Yeah.
The game ended. I look at the scoreboard. You know what it says? 0. Under hits. It's a no-hitter.
I'm with you.
Okay. Tim in Hamilton. All right. Tim in Hamilton has just pulled the pin out of the grenade and launched it into our infield discussion. Tim and Hamilton. It takes a Hamiltonian to do this.
Mm.
You guys are going to hate this. See, as soon as you lead a text with that, you got my attention.
You're reading it.
You know, as long as it doesn't say, hey, jackass, or something like that. You guys are going to hate this. But give Vladdy a real look at third. Oh. You knew it was going to come. At some point, you knew somebody was going to go there. But Tim, I'm going to finish it. He's a completely different athlete this year. He has a cannon for an arm, and he takes so much pride in that position. It also gets Rowdy playing every day, which will be good for his rhythm, and it frees up the DH to help manage the outfield logjam. Keep going with Bo at short for now and see how it plays out over a longer sample. Tim and Hamilton. Bark, I wonder. Do you move Vladdy to third?
Still doesn't hide the fact that your shortstop is having the issues he has. The two wrongs don't make a right. Not sure that's the thing with Vladdy.
Is Bo a better defensive shortstop with Vladdy or with Cavan beside him?
I don't think it matters.
See, that's my point. Tim, I'm giving you credit for this.
Everything Tim said in that text is exactly right. But that doesn't change the fact that Bo has the issue with his backhand. He has the issue with the slow roller. He has the issue with the hard ball hit right at him. That doesn't change the fact that that's...
Now I'm pissed off I didn't mention that in my column. But yeah, you're right. It really doesn't.
No.
But everything else, Tim. And I'm not saying they wouldn't do it. I mean, Charlie Montoyo has said he'd play Bo at third. We saw Vladdy at third. Vladdy likes playing third. We know that. The other thing it accomplishes too, and I kind of should have slapped myself in the face Friday night because I sent out a picture of Cliff Floyd when Vladdy was pulled off. I sent out a picture of Cliff Floyd just after his hand had been broken and that also scares me. But man, just think of this now though, Bark. We're talking about Bo Bichette, one of your corner pieces, and now you're saying that you're going to move Vladdy, the other corner piece, to third. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but I got to have the discussion with Semien first.
You think Vladdy could play third base for the next 10 years?
No, not a chance in hell.
There's your answer.
Do I think he could play first the next 10 years? Yeah, I think he could learn as long as he doesn't break his wrist in the process.
Better feet work at the bag. I've been yelling and screaming this forever. Don't get stationary in the middle of the bag. You're fine. The ball with a guy that's right-handed, as long as you have decent feet work around the bag, you're not going to do that. It's an easy fix. But That's for another day.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, a lot of people got a lot of thoughts. I love that, Tim. Mike in Victoria. We're going across the country here. Cavan's hitting is an issue we seem to be avoiding. Espinal and Panic are both better options offensively and defensively now. We aren't putting our best lineup to win now with Biggio in. I love Santiago Espinal off the bench, but he ain't going to be here when Teoscar and Vladdy come back, I don't think.
Okay, I don't mind Kevin in the lineup somewhere. I don't want him leading off, and correct. I don't want him hitting fifth.
Correct. Yes.
But like, you just can't sell that to your team. Like,
no.
It's a little bit of this is about, again, I get back to you wanting to carry trophies across the field.
Yeah.
And your best player's been saying that, yelling and screaming at
him. Now, do you go, okay, this is the other thing. You know, Bo set that bar high. At what point does somebody go to him? Or does somebody mention to him, you know, you talked about wanting to raise trophies. Ain't going to work if you're airmailing balls to first base. Yeah, that doesn't really square with the whole raising trophy thing.
I know if I'm running this team, I don't ask. I don't say those kind of things. I just say it's best for the team for you to go here. But you got to have a good option. You got to have a good long-term option too, I think, which they don't really have right now. Marcus Semien going to be here next year? You don't know the answer to that, do you? And if Marcus Semien's not here, who do you getting? Javi Baez coming here? Probably going to be a Cub. Trevor Story coming here? Probably not. He's going to be a Yankee.
Somebody wants to weigh in on Danny Jansen. We'll deal with Danny Jansen tomorrow. How about that? We got enough in our plate.
There's not really a deal with it.
There's not. No. We will talk about that tomorrow. We will talk about that tomorrow. But right now, I want to focus on Bo Bichette. 590-590 again is the text line. Here we go. Jeremy from Toronto. Hey, Jeff and Kevin. I'd love to see what Bo looks like next to a legit third baseman with good range. Take some of the area coverage from shortstop. Another thing we need to say, again, is that Bo hasn't had good defensive third baseman around him in his career. So
yeah, I think it almost because of all
and
the
I think
issues.
That has me, to be said.
It's better to have a better first baseman for me, and they're not going to have that. The third baseman doesn't change the fact of his issues. Look, right now he has more than one thing that he needs to work on. It's not backhand. It's not one thing that he specifically has to hone in on every day. Louis Rivera's just going out there and just 2,000 ground balls to fix that. No. It's three different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good third ranging third baseman who would have to play so far over in the third base hole to take care of that. It's just not realistic.
Mike in Hamilton said, didn't Jeter used to kill people behind first at one time too? That part of the column I wrote, and I had a little bit of fun with it today. I talked about Bo Bichette, Derek Jeter. But yeah, when Derek Jeter was drafted by the Yankees, he made 21 errors in 57 games his first year. He made 56 errors. This is at shortstop in his second year. The difference is he played 444 minor league games. And the Yankees went out and got Tony Fernandez to buy some time for Derek Jeter to learn in the minors. And they made a couple of other moves as well. And yeah, he was a sixth pick overall in 1991. 1992.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of pressure to move him to center field because of the errors. But Gene Michael, who was the general manager, said, no, we're gonna stick with him. And Gene Michael, and this is what I kind of talked about in my column today, because I'm not necessarily comparing Bo to Derek Jeter. But what both Mitch Lukovics, who was the Yankees farm director, this is for an article I did a couple of years ago, and Brian Cashman both said is, here's the thing. When you have a bunch of really good young players coming up through the system at the farm at the same time, you have to make the right read on the guy. Like, they talked about the Yankees, that core four. Well, in order for Bernie Williams to play center field every day, they traded Roberto Kelly. They had a choice. Gene Michael said, Bernie Williams, Roberto Kelly, I'm going to go with Bernie Williams. They went all in Andy Pettit instead of Sterling Hitchcock. Jorge Posada was moved from second base to catcher. there were a couple of moves they didn't make. 1997, they had to deal with the Detroit Tigers for Bernie Williams. The press release was printed up by the Tigers. At the last minute, the Yankees said, it doesn't feel right. Oh, yeah, and before that, when Derek Jeter was scuffling, the Yankees talked to the Seattle Mariners about Felix Fermin, good defensive shortstop, thinking maybe Jeter would go to center field eventually. You know who the Mariners asked for?
Who?
Mariano Rivera. You know what the Yankees said? Hard pass. So all I'm saying is, and those guys stayed around to become core members of the team, and all I'm saying is these situations are not, it's not out of the question these situations develop when you're bringing young players in. Yeah, even look at Ross and Mark's time with Cleveland. They had Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor coming up at the same time. They made Lindor stay in the minors an extra amount of time because they figured they wanted to see what Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
And Jose Ramirez is another example of a guy that is an MVP candidate. And he didn't know where he was going to play when he first came up. So
yeah,
I think what happened, Kevin, is stuff like this used to happen in the minors all the time.
Yeah, you'd rather,
with Bichette.
Yeah, you got to remember, too, with John Snyder, Bo did play second for about 10 games. So it's not like he's never played there before.
Yes.
He has played there.
In the minors.
He did.
Yes.
So he's a little used to the way the ball comes off the bat from the right-handed hitter and all those kind of things. I just wonder how Bo would take 40-year season at shortstop. How would he take that? Offensively, what would it look like? Well, we want 30 homers and driving in 80 to 100 and close to 300.
That's a great point, Bart. That is a great point.
Well, 40 errors at shortstop. And do you even want him to go through that?
He could become a – I wonder if he could become a – we used to joke about Howard Johnson being a 30-30-30 guy, 30 homers, 30 steals, 30 errors.
Yeah.
When he was with the Mets. I wonder if Bo could become – don't laugh.
You notice how hard he is on himself.
Yes.
Think about how hard he'd be on himself if he made 40 errors.
There's a lot to talk about here. It's not just simply a matter of moving to second and everything's taken care of.
What's best for the kid first? He's 23. What's best for him?
Yeah. And his dad is around the team too. His dad works for the team. I'm not saying that would be an issue. Anyhow, great texts, everybody. I'm sure we'll be talking about this on Wednesday. When we do Walk Off Wednesday, this will probably still be a topic of discussion. Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Central.